Chapter 6. Danger in the Palace. D'Artagnan flitted through Paris after Madame Bonacieux. It was getting dark now, and he often lost sight of her in the twisting, turning streets. But then he would glimpse her blue cloak in the distance and rush to catch up. All the time he was trailing her, D'Artagnan's head was spinning. He'd only known her for 20 minutes, but those beautiful blue eyes had bewitched him. He had fallen head over heels in love with Madame Bonacieux. "Of course, I can't tell her," D'Artagnan told himself, "because she's a married lady. But in any case, my love is noble and pure. All I want is to protect her. I'd die for her if I had to." Carried away by his romantic dream, he turned a corner, and there was his beloved Madame Bonacieux in a pool of moonlight. A man slid out of the shadows and crept towards her. He, too, was hidden in a long cloak. A large hat hid his face. "He's a thief," thought D'Artagnan frantically. "He's going to rob her." He drew his sword and rushed forward. "You villain, sir," cried D'Artagnan. "Leave that lady alone. She is under my protection." The stranger instantly drew his own sword. Blades flashed in the moonlight. Then Madame Bonacieux recognized D'Artagnan. "I told you not to follow me," she cried. "This man means me no harm." Her voice sank to a whisper. "It's the Duke of Buckingham. I'm taking him to a secret meeting with the Queen." "Oh, no," thought D'Artagnan, realizing he'd made a dreadful mistake. "Your pardon, sir," he said, bowing deeply to the English noble. The Duke didn't look at all flustered. He was rich, powerful, and supremely arrogant. He smiled coolly at his fiery young challenger. "A man after my own heart," he said, in perfect French. Madame Bonacieux wasn't as calm as the Duke. "Now go," she hissed to D'Artagnan, her eyes flickering around the street. "The Cardinal has spies everywhere." This secret meeting between the Queen and the Duke was desperately risky, but the Duke wasn't at all nervous. His eyes gleamed at the thought of the danger ahead. "Let this young man come with us," he told Madame Bonacieux. "He has spirit. I like that. And we shall need a guard." So D'Artagnan found himself following the famous English Duke and Madame Bonacieux, the Queen's maid, to the Louvre, the royal palace where the Queen of France lived. Madame Bonacieux had planned all this. She knew every nook and cranny of the palace. She let them through a side door, which she unlocked, and across courtyards, down corridors, and up dark, twisty staircases. At last she opened a secret door, hidden in the wooden panelling. "Stay outside," whispered Madame Bonacieux. "Warn us if anyone comes." She took the Duke with her into the room. D'Artagnan did as he was told and stayed outside, his sword drawn, every nerve alert for danger. After about 15 minutes, Madame Bonacieux came out with the Duke. D'Artagnan saw that the Duke clutched a little rosewood box, as if it was the most precious thing in the world. "I wonder if the Queen gave him that," thought D'Artagnan. But no one told him anything. Swiftly, Madame Bonacieux led them back the way they had come, and out of the palace. The Queen, meanwhile, hurried back to the safety of her bedroom. Back in the secret room, where the Duke and Queen had just met, a sneeze came from behind a wall tapestry. A lady in waiting slid out. She sneezed again. "A tissue!" and shook the spider's webs and dust out of her hair. She was another of the Cardinal's spies. She'd followed the Queen to the secret room and hidden behind the tapestry. She'd heard every word the Duke and Queen said to each other. She opened the door of the room and looked cautiously up and down the corridor. All clear, she thought. Then she rushed off to report to her master, the Cardinal. Half an hour later, in the Cardinal's house, she was telling him and Rochefort her story. The Cardinal was a man to be feared. He was fiercely intelligent, a brilliant soldier and a ruthless politician. He could easily twist the king around his little finger. The queen was harder to deal with. She wasn't as weak as her husband. So the cardinal wanted to ruin her, have her put to death, if possible, and replace her with a queen he could control. He fixed the lady-in-waiting with his piercing gaze. "So you didn't hear the Queen say that she loved the Duke?" "No, Your Eminence," stuttered the woman. "In fact, she said she didn't. She said she was only meeting him to tell him that. She said they must never meet again, that it was far too dangerous." The Cardinal stroked his small grey beard. He shot a glance at his chief spy, Rochefort. That wasn't what they wanted to hear. "Then Lord Buckingham asked for a token," said the lady-in-waiting nervously. "Something to remember her by." "A token?" said Rochefort keenly. "So did the Queen give it? Quick, tell us." He strode towards the spy, as if he wanted to shake the information out of her. "Yes, sir," she answered hastily. She had to. The Duke swore that if she didn't, he'd never leave France. So the Queen gave him a little rosewood box. In it were two diamonds from the necklace His Majesty the King gave her on her birthday. The Cardinal and his chief spy glanced again at each other, but this time there was triumph in their eyes. "That is all," snapped the Cardinal, dismissing the lady-in-waiting. When she'd scurried away, the Cardinal gloated. "This is the chance we've been waiting for." His quick brain was already plotting the Queen's downfall. "I'll get the King to arrange a ball for the Queen," he told Rochefort, "and to insist she wears her diamond necklace. When the King sees two of the diamonds are missing, I'll tell him why. I'll make him believe, of course, that the Queen has betrayed him and is madly in love with the Duke." The Cardinal smiled, a sinister smile. "I think at last we have Her Majesty in our grasp." Then he became brisk and businesslike. He gave Rochefort his orders. "When the Queen knows about the ball, she'll panic. I predict she'll send messengers to England to get back the diamonds. You must find those messengers, and you must stop them at all costs from reaching Buckingham." "Leave it to me," said Rochefort, his voice grim. "Her messengers will never leave France alive."